The Bible is an amazing book. In it, we not only hear God addressing us, but we are also told how to respond to God amidst the ups and downs of our lives. The book of Psalms, in particular, is a library of resources for life with God. Christians have always found the Psalms a place that they keep returning to in order to find God once again amid the challenges of life. One theologian put it this way: in the Psalms, I find myself at my worst and at my best. Here I can praise God with warmth and confidence and hope, but here also I can give vent to those black thoughts that might otherwise be hidden in the dark and angry corners of my heart. Above all, the Psalms express the reality of my longing for God and my joy and sufferings in the vagaries of my search for him. Sometimes God is close, sometimes distant. I see him in the desert and on the mountain. Psalm 16, which we had read this morning, is a psalm that's attributed to David. This is the David of David and Goliath fame. And he had a turbulent life, David. At times having to flee from his enemies, other times showing great skill in battle. He was a musician, a poet, and yet capable of a notorious act, what we would say these days, he threw a man called Uriah under a bus. David had seen Uriah's wife bathing and wanted her for himself. And in order to achieve that, he arranged for Uriah, the husband, to be put in the most dangerous place in the battle, and he was killed. And David was able to take Uriah's wife for himself. And this Psalm 16 was written when David was being regarded as a bit of an outlaw. At its heart, it challenges us to choose a life with God as opposed to a life without God. David chooses the Lord in contrast to those who choose other gods. Consequently, he knows the blessings that God gives: his presence, his counsel, and deliverance from death are boundary lines that have fallen in pleasant places. And that's a delightful way of expressing contentment with a life that has known blessing and joy. We've just spent a few days with friends. The wife of one of them has had an operation for cancer. She's been told she has to have it done again, and yet she's accepting it with a true contentment, a peace that comes from knowing Jesus and her Father God. But let's look a little bit more closely at the psalm. In verses 1 to 4, David says that he has put all his trust in God and has taken refuge in him. We hear a lot about refugees these days, where people seek safety or sanctuary in a different country. In David's time, particular cities were set aside as cities of refuge, and where someone who had caused accidental death could flee for protection from family avengers. There was a real depth to meaning of being a refugee. And David mentions the holy people in the land. The holy people are those who are set apart by God, but not because they are special or particularly good, but they are the ones who have taken refuge in God and believe that there is only one God. They do not follow idols or false gods. And in some translations of the Bible, these holy people are referred to as saints. And those of us who follow Jesus, accept Jesus as our Saviour, our saints. We are all saints, as was Marian. Verses 5 to 8 show how David puts his trust in God. God supplies all of David's needs. He is content. God has led David to a safe place. Verse 6 speaks of boundary lines falling in pleasant places for David. When the Israelites conquered the land of Canaan and regarded it as the promised land, the land was divided up amongst the various tribes. 11 tribes had a portion, and one tribe, the Levites, didn't. And the boundary lines were set, some more favorably than others, but David can say that his boundaries were set in pleasant places. In verses 7 and 9, David speaks of God giving him wise counsel. Even at night, God is always before him. These verses explain the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit is our counselor and guide. The Spirit goes ahead of us and prepares the ground before us. Before David does anything, he seeks the Lord and turns his eyes to the Lord. And that's true of us as a congregation, isn't it? That we have decisions to make, and we should make them prayerfully, not just think that they're good ideas, but bring everything and seek the Lord. Verses 9 to 11 say, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." This is our future hope. These verses show that the resurrection of Jesus was foretold in the scriptures. And both Paul and Peter, writing in the New Testament, quote verse 10 and apply it to Jesus. This life is not the end. You can look forward to an eternity in the presence of God, fullness of joy and pleasures for evermore. But we have to choose that. And the challenge to us this morning is, have we chosen it? Do we need to choose it? Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is to come.